main thing we're going to be learning is how you can mess up your kitchen and how to avoid it and correct it. Okay. That's the majority of what we're going to be learning, but since he in the Sefer deals with all these different things, I thought we'll do it also. Okay, the next thing is chelev. We always get meat that is already prepared, so you don't really have an idea of what these prohibitions are. But there are prohibited fats, not the regular fat of an animal. The regular fat of an animal is called shuman. And shuman is 100% okay halachically, whether it's okay medically or not is your call. But halachically, shuman is mutter. And chelev is aser. Chelev is more the coverings of the internal organs. Every internal organ has a covering around it, and the entire internal organs have a covering. It's a very thick, fatty kind of thing. It's not the kind of fat that's inside the meat. It's a separate thing, and it's much more tough. That's called chelev. And in order for an animal to be kosher, all this chelev has to be removed. And the chelev of a chaya, of a wild animal, like a deer, is mutter. But the chelev of a behemah, which is the most of the meat that we eat, is domesticated animals, is aser. And there is no chelev in chickens or turkeys and fowl, only in mammals. And aside from the chelev, there are also strands of chelev that have to be removed, and there are blood vessels that have to be removed that can't be koshered and can't be eaten together with the meat. Most of them are only rabbinic chelev. Some of it is min haTorah, and the process of removing chelev from the animal is called nikur. And it takes somebody who is an expert in knowing how to do it. Many times butchers are trained in this, or there's special menachrim that prepare the meat, take out the chelev and whatever. So you can't just shecht an animal and then decide that you're going to kasher it and roast it. You have to know how to take out all the parts that are prohibited. In addition to that, there's the Gid HaNoshe. The Gid HaNoshe is usually translated the sciatic nerve, which is extremely difficult to take out properly. It has to be taken out in such a way that you take out not only the nerve itself, but all of the tributaries of the nerve. And you need a special Kabbalah to be able to do that, to know how to do that. And for the most part, in most countries, they don't take out the Gid HaNoshe. They don't use the hindquarters of the animal at all. They sell it to treif. Anything, I think, past the 12th rib is usually sold to treif, because that's where the Gid HaNoshe is, and that's where most of the chelev and most of the things that have to be trebered, that's the Yiddish word for the nikur, trebered out, and they don't bother with it. They don't have people who are capable of doing it. In America, for sure, in Europe, these are not used. In Eretz Yisrael, it is used by some people, not by the Mahadran Shechitas, but the regular Shechitas, they do use the hindquarters, and they have people who for generations have learned and have a Masorah in the trebering. The difference is, there are certain cuts of meat that in Chutz Laaretz you'll never see in a kosher restaurant. Like, what's it called, T-bone steak. Is steak from the hindquarters of the animal. Many cuts of meat are totally from the hindquarters that they don't use at all. They sell it to the treifa market. And here in Eretz Yisrael, not in the Mahadran places, but in the non-Mahadran places where they are somech on the nikur, you'll find these kinds of steaks kosher. So that is the idea of nikur. Then there's Eiver Menachai. Any meat that was torn from a living animal, even if the animal subsequently dies, is also to eat forever. So if an animal lost a limb or whatever, and that meat is aser. It's not really nogeya that much. Lamaisa, even for goyim, this is aser. This is one of the things that a goy can't eat either. This is the kashrus of a goy, is eiver min achai. It only applies, however, to animals and birds and not to fish or to crustaceans or whatever. And therefore, somebody once asked me, goyim, he was a goy who kept Shev Mitzvah Noah, and he wanted to go on a crusade to prevent goyim from eating lobsters that were cut up before they died, because he thought that that was Iver Menachai, but it's not. It's not an animal, it's a fish. It's really a crustacean. And the Isra of Iver Menachai doesn't apply to it. And even though fish you're allowed to basically eat alive, it's not a nice thing to do, and therefore la halacha, you have to wait till the fish, if you want to, in college and want to swallow a live goldfish, goldfish are kosher, it's not the proper thing to do. Better to wait till the goldfish die. Okay. What else? Okay, that's Eiver Menachai. Tevel. Tevel is things that grow in Eretz Yisrael, and the fruits, vegetables, that you have to take off Trumas and Maestras, and until all the Trumas and Maestras is taken off, the fruits and vegetables are called Tevel, and it's also to eat them, and there is a Chiyuv Misa, for when it's Min HaTorah, there's a Misa Bidei Shemayim, you get a spiritual death penalty for eating Tevel. Orla. Orla is the first 3 years from the planting of a tree. Only applies to trees, doesn't apply to vegetables. And what is considered a tree and not is sometimes a matter of machlokis, because there are certain trees that don't produce fruit more than 3 years. And therefore the fruit would always be awesome. Right? The papaya is an example of that. Eggplant. Shiloh, whether the way that it grows, does it grow as a tree? Does it grow as a, what's it called? There's some people don't eat eggplant because they consider the eggplant a tree. And it's orla. It usually doesn't produce more than 3 years, so it's always awesome. Most poskim hold that eggplant, at least most are its mainstay of Israeli diet. So most poskim hold that it's mutter. There are a lot of, fruits that basically grow in South America, and they're called tropical fruits, thank you, that have this shaila. They grow in such a way that what determines a tree, there are many different opinions, but some of the conditions are that it has a hard bark, not a pliable bark, that it grows more than 3 tefachim off the ground. It's not like a low bush. It the fruit grows on the branch year after year and doesn't grow new branches. Okay, that's why a banana is not considered a tree. A banana is, for many things, it's the same shayla lagabi the bracha. You make a bori pri adam or a bori pri eitz, but it's not exactly the same. Could be in certain things you make a bori pri adam, it's still considered a tree lagabi orla, or vice versa. In any case, orla is only by trees, whatever defines a tree, and the first 3 years from the planting of the tree, and or the sometimes the replanting of the tree. Or the grafting of a tree sometimes. You start the 3 years from then. How the 3 years are calculated is not 3 years from day to day. Depends when you planted it, before Rosh Hashanah, before Tishrei, how many days. And sometimes a portion of a year is considered like a year. And sometimes when the 3 years are up, you still have to wait till Tu B'Shvat. Sometimes not. So there are a lot of halachas, we're not going to go into the details now, but that's another thing that would be prohibited for eating, is orla, and that's why you have to buy fruit in a place that has a reliable hechsher. Because the places that don't have necessarily mahadran hechsher and rely on a lot of kulas that not all the posts can hold of, that you can rely on the majority, that majority of a certain fruit is not orla, Right? Whether you can rely on the majority or not is a big question for various reasons that I don't want to go into now. Sometimes you can't rely on the majority, and some proskim hold you can, some hold you can't rely on the majority of fruit, and therefore you have to buy fruit at least from a mahadrin hashgacha, because otherwise you run into problems of orla, or shilas of orla. Chadash, that's something that's good to speak about. Chadash is any grain that or vegetables that took root. This doesn't apply to trees. This only applies to grains and vegetables that took root before, or grain really, grain. It's not any of the one of the five grains, not vegetables. Five grains that took root after the 16th day of Nisan. Okay, notice after the Omer would have been brought. When we start counting the Omer, that's the day that Chodesh becomes Mutter. Chodesh means a new crop. So anything that took root after the 16th day of Nisan is not permitted to be eaten till the next 16th day of Nisan comes by and passes by. It means from the 17th day of Nisan and on, that grain is Mutter. And it's also the whole year before that. And any products that are made from it are also till the 16th day of Nisan comes, and then it becomes permitted. So, and that applies in Eretz Yisrael for sure. Any grain grown in Eretz Yisrael, this applies to. And therefore, any heksher on grain from Eretz Yisrael has to include that it's yoshem, that it's not chadash, it's not from the new crop, that a 16th day of Nisan hasn't passed over it. What applies in Chutz La'aretz, for the most part, in Chutz La'aretz for hundreds of years, the minig has been to rely on those poskim who hold that grain grown by goyim in goyish land, this halacha doesn't apply to. And it's mutter to eat it, even if it took root after the 16th day of Nisan, and another 16th day of Nisan hasn't come by. So there is no iser of chadash in Chutz La'aretz, according to the way the minig is. And that's the way most people functioned, even except for special people who were extra careful and wanted to be mahadir and machmir. The hamon am, regular people, were somech on, even though lahalacha, right, the majority of poskim hold that this isser applies in Chutz La'aretz too. But here is a case where the minig goes against the din. If we had a paskin this shaila according to the din, it would have to be that it's aser. But the minig was kovei that it's mutter, and the minig was it's mutter, and therefore that's basically the halacha. The halacha is that it's mutter. And it was only individuals that were machmer. Lately, this mitzvah has gotten a lot of popularity, and many people adopted this chumrah of not eating yoshon, not eating chadash in Chutz La'aretz, and therefore there are a lot of hechsherim that only give hechsherim to if it's yoshon kemach, in other words, flour, whatever from grain or products of grain that already have had one 16th day of Nisan pass over it. Most of the popular hechsherim in Chutz La'aretz are makbid on this.
Is this
something
like Shemitah?
What?
Like before the Chaznish's time, everyone said it.
No, it's not. This is it's a different thing. People just happen to start being machmir. No, it's not because they didn't know. It's because, for whatever reason, they relied on these opinions that said that it's mutter, and that was the minig in kol ha'olam kulo.
How could a minig start to override the din? I mean, this is deraisa.
Yeah, okay, because the minig was, for whatever reason, to accept the das yachid, and that's how the halacha became.
Where does the das yachid have makor to what
he says? Yeah, 100%. Yeah. There was a different opinion of what the halacha is l'gabei chadash and chutz la'aretz. The majority of poskim hold one way, the minority of poskim hold a different way. And the minig was koveya, the halacha, like the minority of poskim. That's a problem. No, so now they have, once it became popular, so there are people who became, there's a whole booklet that you can know what the dates are on different products, when they begin to use new flour, what kind of flour, there's all different kinds of flours. There's winter wheat and summer wheat or whatever, and it's a complicated thing. If you want to keep it, right, and still be able to eat noodles and whatever, so you have to have this booklet and know what products are from the new crops that the 16th day of Nisan has and ones from the old ones. There's another problem, though, that's many times the Yashan flour is also bug-infested. So in being machmer, in not eating what's it called chadash, sometimes a person ends up being makel in eating bugs, which is not a chumrah, but an issur d'oraisa.
Saying that good for 100
years, not now. Yeah. That since it wasn't available. What the din should have been, or whatever.
What's your view of changing, knowing today that we have a lot of machinery and stuff like that?
Machinery doesn't change the situation. The situation changes because things are available and information, like Mayor said.
Now that there's there are places that are marked on Yashan, you want to go to bakery, there are Yashan bakeries. Being makbin on Yashin, is that just like any other chumrah, or is it more of a reason, Dafka, since the din would be that way?
Since many gedolim are still not makbid on chadash, talmidei chachamim, it's a chumrah. It's a chumrah. You want to be makbid on that chumrah, it's a chumrah. But it doesn't change halacha. Halacha still remains that what's it called, that it's mutter. Now in Eretz Yisrael, it's not a chumrah; it's a halacha. Right? When he grains in Eretz Yisrael, right, there's no such thing as somebody who's not makbid on chadash in Eretz Yisrael. It's in Eretz Yisrael; it's a halacha. The shaila is like this: what happens if in Chutz La'aretz you weren't makbid on not eating chadash from Chutz La'aretz products? Now you move to Eretz Yisrael. And you are makbid because it's Eretz Yisrael products. Can you still eat products from Chutz La'aretz that are chadash? Okay. So pashtus, the halacha is that since moving to Eretz Yisrael didn't change your psak legabe chadash of Chutz La'aretz, it only changed it legabe chadash of Eretz Yisrael. You can still, if you were noheg to eat those things in Chutz La'aretz, and you bring it to Eretz Yisrael, you can eat those things in Eretz Yisrael too. So in other words, if you bring cookies with an OU, or pretzels, or anything else, noodles, and you were knowing not to be makbid on Yashan in Chutz La'aretz, then those products from Chutz La'aretz have the same din as Chutz La'aretz, even though they're brought to Eretz Yisrael. The only difference is, and there's a machlokas, if you bring grain from Chutz La'aretz, and you make the product here, then, even those who hold that in Chutz La'aretz the din of Chadash didn't apply, but to things that were finished in Eretz Yisrael, it may apply. There you should be makbid. Products that were brought and finished in Eretz Yisrael, made in Eretz Yisrael from grain that was grown in Chutz La'aretz, there a person should be machmir for sure and only eat Yashin products.
Those things have
what? There's very few things like that. Sometimes there's oils that may be like that, that may be a problem.
Because Israel imports wheat.
What?
Israel's a main importer of wheat.
Right. So then the hechsherim for here for sure hold that anything that's imported, if it's mahadran hechsher, has to be yashan. Yeah.
Well, for example, if something gets imported and has an OU on it, a lot of times it has a sticker that says it's also under the
Ishura of Rabbanut Rashid. Yeah, the Rabbanut Rashid is a regular hashgacha, and they for sure are matter even if the product was finished here or whatever. It's not, except even the regular hashgachas, they're makbid on chadash if it was produced in Eretz Yisrael. Usually products that are brought from Chutz La'aretz are so old that there's really no problem. Right? They're not imported within the time that they could still be chadash, usually. Okay, I'm not 100% sure since I'm not makbid on it. I don't know all the ins and outs of it. But usually that's the case. There may be exceptions.
Okay. If a product was made with chadash in Choslar,
right,
and even in Eretz Yisrael, it was made with chadash, but the product it can be eaten once it's already
once the 16th day of Nisan comes, it's mutar. It doesn't remain usher forever. It remains usher till the 16th day of Nisan. That's the thing. No matter if it was made, not made, whatever it is. Okay, next. Yayin Nesach. Yayin Nesach is not something that you will come in contact with. What we have is Stam Yenom, which is only rabbinic. That we'll get to next week, the rabbinic prohibitions. But Yayin Nesach is wine that was poured to Avodah Zorah. That's Osir Min HaTorah. It's Osir B'Achila. It's Osir B'Hanoi. You're not allowed to drink it. You're not allowed to have any enjoyment from it. It's a Torah prohibition. The rabbis prohibited other Goyisha wine, and they based it on Yayin Nesach, but those are totally rabbinic. What's from the Torah is wine that was poured to Avodah Zorah. That wine is Osir Min HaTorah, and it's Osir B'Hanoi. You're not allowed to have any enjoyment from it. Two more things. Basar B'Cholav, which is what we're going to speak about at length for most of the next shiurim, not from the next week on, but most of the year, is mixtures of milk and meat, is also Min HaTorah, and we'll get to, when we speak about Basar B'Cholav, we'll speak about what it applies to, which kind of meat, which kind of milk, which kind of mixtures, or whatever. And that's a Torah prohibition. It's also not only you're not allowed to eat it, you're not allowed to cook milk and meat together, even if you don't eat it. And you're not allowed to have any enjoyment from it. No benefit from it. Therefore, if you have dog food that is made from real basar b'chalav, whatever that is constituted by, you can't feed it to your dog either. So dog foods, right, have to have a... There is dog foods, and I saw in the States, that have a hechsher, and that have what's it called, kosher l'Pesach too. I don't know if they have Mahadran Hechsherim for dogs. I always used to say that, what's it called, that if they had a Hechsher for dogs, they should call it a K-9. In any case, I couldn't resist that. In any case, but there's something behind it, because if it's real Basar B'Cholav, it's also, most of the time, dog foods, even if they contain dairy ingredients, are not real basar b'chalav for various reasons. Either because the meat is not the kind of meat that becomes asr, or the process, how they mix them together, is not the way that it becomes asr b'hanoa. But it's possible, so therefore there is such an idea. If you see a hechsher on dog food, it's not because it's in a low income area where that's where they what they eat, right? Low-income areas, part of the supermarket that is well-stocked is the pet foods, and the people don't have pets. So that means that people are eating cat food, dog food, or whatever, because it's much cheaper. But even in high-class areas where they don't eat the pet food, there's an inion of having a hechsher on it.
The animal food with a hechsher doesn't mean it's kosher. It just means
what?
Kosher.
No, it doesn't mean it's kosher. It means it's kosher to feed to your dog. Doesn't mean it's kosher to eat yourself. Okay. And the last thing is kilayim. Kilayim, in Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to plant different kinds of vegetables, different kinds of grains together. However, if you do it, it doesn't prohibit the result, except if you plant it together with grapes. Grapes and grain, grapes and vegetables is a problem, and the produce is prohibited. That's called kilay hakerem. Kilay zroyim, you're not allowed to plant them together in Eretz Yisrael, and there's halachas of how far away you have to be, and how it has to look, and how big the beds are, or whatever. That we're not going to go into now, but there's an issur called kilay zroyim. The produce of that is not prohibited. There's an issur of kilay hakerem. The produce of that is prohibited. And kilay hakerem, applies also in Chutz Laretz, whereas Kilah Yisroim doesn't apply Bechlal in Chutz Laretz. You're allowed to plant things as long as it's not a grapevine anywhere in Chutz Laretz, anyway. But in Eretz Yisrael, you can't plant it any. You have to plant it a special way, and even though if you didn't, the produce is an usher. There's also an issur of grafting trees. Kilai ilanos, that only applies not to planting trees in close proximity to each other. You can plant all different kinds of trees in one orchard. The problem is only if you graft a tree onto another tree. Two different minim. And there, the result is mutter after you can't tell anymore that it's a grafted tree. In the second generation, or the graft has taken so well that it blends in. That's pretty much the halacha in Chutz Laretz, for sure. That if you have grafted trees or grafted fruit, there's plenty of fruit that started with grafting, right? Nectarines, right? Or what? Plums and peaches. So the original tree would have been usher to keep alive. You wouldn't be allowed to water that tree, and you, as long as the grafting didn't take, and it's clear that it was a grafted tree, you wouldn't be allowed to eat that fruit. But once the graft took, and you can't tell anymore, then you're allowed to keep that tree alive, and anything's planted from the seeds of that are mutter. So that's why you're allowed to eat nectarines.
Is a person allowed to own it?
What?
Is a person allowed to own a grafted tree?
You're allowed to own it, but you can't keep it alive. If it's the first graft and you can see that it's grafted, you can't water it and keep it alive.
And let's say you can't see that it's grafted or not, but you know it's grafted, can you still keep it alive?
Yeah, if the graft took and it's not obvious that it's a grafted tree, you can keep it alive, according to most opinions. Here in Israel, could be it's more chamor. Mira Hazen's brother did a whole thing on this, a lot of machlokas, especially in Eretz Yisrael, what's called when the graft isn't nicker anymore, and are you allowed to keep those trees alive? You're allowed to eat the fruit or not? But for the most part, commercial fruits that came from originally grafted things are mutter to eat. Okay. Okay. That pretty much is the different kinds of isurei achila. And except for the rabbinic things, we didn't get to. But the deraisas we got to. Next thing is the rabbinic things, and then we'll get to the halachas of kashrus itself, of usually basar b'chalav and taruvos is most of the thing we're going to discuss.
Yeah, and that does come up sometimes nowadays.
Why?
20 years ago, I heard a story happened in L.A. I heard it about third hand, happened a couple years before, where a Jewish businessman was eating lunch with a bunch of some goyim, and it wasn't a kosher restaurant, and where he ate fish, but it was makban on the yayin, which of course the goyim obviously drink, and they asked how can we not drink, how can we not drinking? So he explained about it was tam yina, not yayin nesa, but he explained about yayin nesa. So he asked him, is it really thing that happens nowadays? You know, no one thought it was. Meanwhile, the waiter came and said, sorry for, I didn't mean to ifras, but I heard what you were saying. You should know I'm a neo-paganist, and before I bring out any wine, I pour some off to my gods. in L.A.
I hear. In L.A., anything can happen.
How do you not like things anything in the grocery store, we assume, it's not just been drafted or but years ago, how do you know when something comes out? I don't know.
What? No, again, commercial things are usually not from freshly grafted trees. They're from years and years of second, third, fifth, tenth generation of these things.
That's so not the people that were around when Pomelo's came out or whatever. How did they?
Even there, the first grafting of the trees weren't what you were getting the produce from. Anything commercial is not really a problem. The problem is only a person's own garden or whatever, then it could be a problem. But commercially, it's usually not a problem.
Going on about behemoths, the fat on the outside of the organs, why are we not allowed to eat that?
The what?
the fat outside of the, on the, they cover the organs of animals.
Because the Torah says that it's a chaylev, called chaylev.
Oh, it's just
it's a Torah prohibition.
Oh, okay. Right.
One of the reasons, there's no reason, but one of the ideas behind it is that's the part that goes on the Mizbeach. So therefore, the Rebbe Donoshim said, blood and chaylev is reserved for the Mizbeach, not for commercial use. Oh. And therefore, and not for private, for secular use. That's why a chaya that you're not allowed to make a korban of, so it's chaylev is mutter, according to that idea. It's not a reason,
right,
it's just an
blood
idea.
Though, right?
Right? The blood is all right. A chaya blood is also usher, but blood may have other reasons besides that it goes on the mizbeach, because all blood doesn't go on the mizbeach either.
Right.
Okay.
Are there any hechshers here that, like we were talking about, T-bone steak or whatever. Is there something where there's a hechsher that is okay and except for that?
I'm not sure. A Mahadran hechsher that Teimanim.
I was just
going to
say Sephardim. Like,
could be Sephardim, not just, I'm not sure. This regular Sephardish hechsherim aren't moderate. But the Teimanim, and there may be. The Sephardi Shechshem, for sure, they're not Mahadran, that yes, they're okay. I'm not sure about the, if there are any Mahadran Hashgachas that rely on the Nikur here in Eretz Israel. Here in Eretz Israel, there is a lot of Nikur that's done. They used to do it, all the, what's it called, people who ate real Mahadran stuff would slide on the Nikur because they couldn't afford to let, and there wasn't a big, market like there is in America for treif. You couldn't just have half an animal, it would be prohibitive financially. Right? In America, so the other half of the animal goes to treif. But lately that's become a problem in America because there's a very big cut down on the consumption of red meat because of health reasons. So there isn't a great, as big a market for treif of meat like that either. So it's become a big problem with lately in America.
We were at a simcha once here, and I remember hearing that it was being catered by Machbud, the head chef was Machbud, and they had like a menu on the table. And I remember my husband looking at the menu and saying,
sirloin steak.
Eat that cut of meat.
Right, sirloin, T-bone. The Maisa, if it's a good hechsher and they really have good menachrim, it's okay to eat. It's not like an Indian that our minig is not to eat that. It's just that the minig came not to bother with it. But if it's a good hechsher and there's good menachrim, you could eat those cuts of steak too.